It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Monday morning to you all. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this, the first day of what will be a short work week, I guess, for a lot of folks. Now, I'm sure there's somebody listening right now saying, not me. I'm the exception. I have to deliver whatever the case may be. It's going to be a busy week that wise. Over the weekend, the shopping was just kind of nuts. People out there, I don't know whether it's advanced Christmas shopping or getting ready for Thanksgiving or what it was, but it was crazy out there. But I'm sure hoping that you took some time just to sit back a little bit and relax, get away from all the tension that's going on out there right now. And there's a bunch, and we're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. Able to relax, get out to your church and have some fellowship with fellow Christians and be reminded of the fact that God is still in control, right, folks? And despite what's happening in Washington and other places in the world. But, there's some breaking news this morning, folks. You know, when you're involved with a legal battle, high-profile legal battle, and you have some of the most high-priced lawyers in the country supposedly working for you, the last thing you want is an open squabble between the lawyers on that team. And that, folks, is what has erupted in the Trump legal team. Now, you remember the news conference last Thursday where the lead lawyer, former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, for the Trump team, had a very long news conference, kind of what they call making their opening statements, opening arguments as to why there was fraud and corruption in the election counting, in the ballot counting, in various jurisdictions across the country, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, et cetera, et cetera. So you remember that news conference? Well, one of the stars of that news conference was another lawyer, Sidney Powell. You would know her face if you see it on the screen right now. Sidney Powell, been practicing law for years and years, has been representing Michael Flynn, so she's quite well known. Well, last night, Rudy Giuliani and another member of the Trump team, Jenna Ellis, issued a statement. I'm going to quote it here. Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She is not a member of the Trump legal team. She is also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity. End quote. So she's not part of our team, is what Rudy Giuliani says, despite the fact that she's high profile at this news conference last Thursday. Now, in a statement obtained by the Wall Street Journal last night, Powell said, and I quote again, "I agree with the statement today. I will represent we the people and seek the truth. I intend to expose all the fraud and let the chips fall where they may. We will not allow the foundations of this great republic to be destroyed by abject fraud." End quote. All right, so there you have it. Rudy Giuliani last night issuing that statement that Sidney Powell is not part of their team, not representing the president. And Powell, shortly afterwards, issuing her own statement saying, "I agree with what Rudy Giuliani has said. But she's going to represent we the people and seek the truth." I assume now she's going to be filing her own petitions from this. Now, over the weekend, she gave a number of interviews. Fox, I think, on Saturday night, she was interviewed by Newsmax and made a number of comments. I wanted to play maybe a couple of those so you know what she was stating at least Saturday night. I don't know if any of these upset Giuliani. I'm not sure. But one in particular where she was asked about the situation in Georgia, and she was talking about those Dominion counting machines, all right? And so here's cut number 14, and this is what she had to say. And this kind of shocked me when she made these comments, cut number 14.
That's a total farce. Georgia's probably going to be the first state I'm going to blow up, and Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State need to go with it because they're in on the Dominion scam with their last-minute purchase or award of a contract to Dominion of $100 million. The State Bureau of Investigation for Georgia ought to be looking into the financial benefits received by Mr. Kemp and the Secretary of State's family about that time. And another benefit Dominion was created to award is what I would call election insurance. That's why Hugo Chavez had it created in the first place. But I also wonder where he got the technology, where it actually came from, because I think it's hammer and scorecard from the CIA.
Just to clarify, you're saying that Governor Kemp, who's been a longtime ally of the president, is directly involved because of financial benefit in the conspiracy to defeat the president in Georgia?
We have certainly been told that there is evidence of that, and it would warrant an investigation if anybody were actually going to do an honest investigation.
What more could you tell us about that alleged conspiracy? Is the governor's involvement?
I can't give you any more details on that now, but it would certainly warrant an investigation.
Georgia.
If it had been reported to me as a law enforcement officer, I would be investigating it steadfastly.
All right. That was Sidney Powell, interview with Newsmax on Saturday night. I want you to understand what she was saying. She is saying that the Republican governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, and the Republican Secretary of State of that state of Georgia benefited financially from their decision to buy these Dominion machines. Now, when I heard that, I thought, wow, I mean, can she prove that? Now, you heard her say that I kind of heard information on that. So I wondered then last night and this morning when hearing the Giuliani statement that they were separating away from Sidney Powell, perhaps that was one of the reasons why. I mean, to say that a governor who has been supporting Trump somehow got paid under the table some financial benefit in the decision to buy these Dominion machines, I don't know. But anyway, that is the situation this morning, folks. Now, I assume the Giuliani team and Jenna Ellis, the official White House team, will proceed with their filings. It will be interesting to watch what Sidney Powell does in the way of filings. But there is definitely a division in that camp this morning, and that can't help but hinder the president's effort to make his case eventually to appeals courts and perhaps eventually to the United States Supreme Court. Dominion, for its part, one of their spokespeople issued a statement, Michael Steele, just discounting the allegation that these machines could be operated and trade votes, in other words, votes that Trump got, trade them to Biden. He says that can't happen. And so anyway, that's where we are with that fight this morning, folks. And as I say, that is going to continue. Now, what's going to happen in some of these other states? You have the situation in Michigan right now where you have a Wayne County canvasser. Remember, that there were two Republicans, two Democrats, but two of the four initially said they would certify the vote there. And then the two Republicans said, no, we're changing our mind. The only reason we initially went along with it is that we were under great pressure to certify the vote. We were doxxed. The other side was giving information about where our families live, et cetera, et cetera. and telling people to go protest outside our house for saying initially that we weren't going to certify. Then they voted to certify, and now they said they're changing their vote once again. So that's where we are with that fight this morning. On top of all of that, we have the president, this morning basically saying that he plans to continue the fight, and he's moving forward with that. And also, Joe Biden apparently is going to announce today the beginnings of his central cabinet. And one of the people that he is talking to and apparently is going to get the pick for Secretary of State is Antony Blinken. Now, the Wall Street Journal describes him as a centrist on foreign policy. Well, it all depends on what your definition, folks, of centrist may be. But he is definitely, if you read his profile, and he's well known, he was part of the Obama administration, he is a globalist. And there is no question that the Biden organization, if he indeed becomes the next president of the United States, Joe Biden, he plans to do away with a lot of the protocols that President Trump put forward. President Trump was United States first. I want to look after the business of the United States first without compromising with other countries. And, of course, the Biden organizing team, they're also still facing difficulties with regards to the far left of his party. And on top of that, that's the squad members. We're talking AOC. She's speaking out, and there's no question where she wants to take the party. Cut number 9.
We're not going to forget about that agreement for the sake of an election, are we? No. What we're going to do is that we're going to organize and demand that this administration, which I believe is decent and kind and honorable, keep their promise. So that's what our next move is. It's to make sure that the Biden administration keeps its promise.
Now what's the promise? Now, the promise is pretty radical, folks. When we talk about the, for example, the Green New Deal and what AOC and not only that, but Bernie Sanders wants, I tell you what, Green New Deal, that would pretty well destroy the energy industry in this country, no question about it. Bernie Sanders last week said, if the labor secretary job is offered me, I could go for that. Now, one of the things he said, he would immediately go to the Walmarts of this world and others and demand that they have a starting hourly wage of $15 an hour. Fast food restaurants, $15 an hour. He'd be going out and here's the problem with that. And basic math would tell you this. If a fast food restaurant chain, whatever the case may be, was forced to pay $15 an hour minimum wage, you can imagine what that's going to do to the prices of commodities. Likewise at Walmart. Can you imagine what that's going to do to the prices of commodities? Everybody would have to pay. That's how companies maintain making their profits. That's why companies are in business, is to make a profit. So you start, if you have starting salaries of $15 an hour, they're going to raise the prices on goods. And who does that hurt? That hurts the rest of us, folks. That's what happens. I don't know. That's as we head into this Thanksgiving week, that's the situation in this country. The other thing going on, and I'm going to be talking about this when we come back, are these Democrat-controlled states and some Republican states, the shutdowns that they are talking about, folks. We're talking in some areas not allowing any more than 8 people to meet at a time, including in your own house. We have lots of reaction to that, folks. When we come back here, Sandy Rios in the morning, Fred Jackson sitting in. We'll also go up to Washington and get some analysis from the nation's capital as to what's going on in our country right now. All of that and more here on this Monday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't go away.
This year has been a pandemic year. Children are hurting all over the world. People are afraid. Families are scared. People have lost their jobs. They don't know where to go, what to do. They don't know what hope they have for the future. Well, I want every child to know that God loves them, that God has not forgotten them, and that He cares for them very much. And when you pack a shoebox and send it to Operation Christmas Child, it gives us an opportunity to give that box to a child and do it in Jesus' name. Can you just imagine the hope and the thrill and the joy when a kid opens up a lid like this and all these toys are in it? It's an incredible gift. And so I just want to say thank you. We need your help this year more than we've ever needed it because of the pandemic. It's just going to create a lot more opportunity. Thank you and God bless you. And remember, pray for the children of the world.
It's National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
We're Bible League International, and for more than 80 years, we've been engaging the world with God's Word for only $5 a Bible. Here's Pastor Dewesi in Ethiopia.
We have a great need. We don't need food in the church, but they are only crying out that you give them the Word of God. And whoever comes and is able to give us a Bible, it will be better than giving us food to eat.
You know, that pastor's not denying the need for physical nourishment, but he's stressing the urgent need for the spiritual nourishment that comes only from God's Word for Christians in his country and for millions around the world who have been denied a Bible. In fact, at Bible League, we estimate that as many as 90% of the evangelical community around the world where we serve cannot access God's Word and be reminded of his promises on a daily basis. Learn how you can be a blessing by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org or by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD. God bless you for caring.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
When it comes to choosing a college, campus visits are important, but 2020 has made it tough to tour your top picks. At Liberty University, we understand, so we offer a variety of visiting opportunities. Tour campus from home with a virtual tour, or visit campus for a few hours for a daily campus tour. Dig a little deeper with Experience LU, a single-day event where you'll tour campus, meet with faculty and staff, and sample on-campus dining locations. Pick your perfect visit by texting VISIT to 49596. Again, that's VISIT to 49596.
A 16-year-old boy was told by his teacher to remove a Trump 2020 flag from his bedroom wall under the threat of punishment. The student at Colusa High School in California was in his bedroom participating in an online chemistry class when the teacher demanded the flag be taken down. She gave the kid 15 seconds to comply. The student's mother says she doesn't blame the teacher. She blames the school board for not giving clear guidance on what kids are allowed to have in the privacy of their bedrooms. And it's not just in California. A Florida fourth grader was suspended for having a BB gun in his room. The public school crowd seems to be under the impression they can govern how children behave in the privacy of their homes. They actually think they can do a better job of raising your children. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern or download my free podcast at toddstearns.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this busy news day. You know, it's really interesting to kind of listen to the Democrats these days, calling on the president to get involved with a smooth transition, you know, to recognize, as they say, the final results of the election and that his opposition is affecting democracy. Well, it was really interesting. I was watching an interview late last week with Ari Fleischer. Now, he was he's a former White House spokesman during the Bush administration. And he reminded us, gee, did the Democrats make it smooth for Donald Trump back in 2016 when his administration was getting set up? Ari Fleischer reminded us of a few things that were going on back in 2016, leading up to the inauguration day in 2017. Cut number two.
President Obama, Vice President Biden, James Comey, Andy McCabe, former CIA and NSA directors, they better understand that they are now reaping what they sowed. Put themselves in Donald Trump's shoes. The transition that they forced him to go under, the briefing that they held for him when he was president-elect, where they went to him with the dossier, and then immediately it got leaked to CNN. It set off 3 years of turmoil and commotion. The fact that the Vice President Joe Biden said use the Logan Act to prosecute incoming National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Do these Democrats not understand that they have created this with Donald Trump? So now they expect a perfectly seamless, smooth, traditional transition? People should put themselves in President Trump's shoes and understand why he might feel this way. They did it to him.
They did it to him. You know, that to me was a very good reminder. And it went on from the transition days, as we all know, the Russia hoax and then the phony impeachment. They have fought the election of President Trump in 2016 from the get-go. They were out to discredit that administration from the get-go. And the hypocrisy of Biden and his group now calling on the president to just accept the election results and help them into a clean and smooth transition. You know what? They expect the American people to forget what Ari Fleischer just reminded us of. And of course, the media. Not a word of how Donald Trump was treated in those early days of his administration in 2016. Well, a guy who I'm sure is not surprised at that hypocrisy is our good friend Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. We say good morning to Gary in Washington. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Fred. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, my friend. Ari Fleischer pointing out some of the hypocrisy that's going on these days.
It's unbelievable, and even he, couldn't go through the whole list, Fred. I think people have completely forgotten this, for example. You know, the Electoral College, under our Constitution, meets to cast their votes for who won the presidential race. It's the, very important last step. 4 years ago, the left started a massive intimidation campaign. They released the names, addresses, and phone numbers of the members of the Electoral College. And many of these people were inundated with threatening phone calls, emails. Some of them literally moved out of their homes or sent their families to other states because they were receiving so many death threats. It's almost been completely forgotten, and it was never really widely reported by the American media. And then there was Inauguration Day alone, Fred. I mean, first of all, about 60 Democrats in an unprecedented move boycotted the inauguration, didn't even bother to show up for the peaceful transfer of power. Meanwhile, in the rest of the city, I know this very well because my wife were there, there were thousands of anti-Trump demonstrators harassing people that had traveled many miles at great expense to come to Washington to see the inauguration. They blocked streets. They ended up rioting in downtown Washington and trashing businesses. And big surprise, none of them actually ended up going to jail for any of that.
Yeah, and I guess, Gary, you can get away with that kind of extreme hypocrisy when the mainstream media are lapdogs for the Democratic Party.
No question about it. Everything is put through that fake news filter, and it does have an impact, Fred. I think sometimes we do overcome it. Obviously, President Trump overcame it in 2016. But there are a lot of things that are so complicated or there's not another way to get different information that big media filter ends up working. So things that were done to Trump were downplayed, and anything that makes life a little bit difficult for Joe Biden becomes a federal case. The media goes crazy about it. But by the way, Fred, it's still going on, this whole thing. The president has obviously attorneys that are representing him and trying to get to the bottom of the potential vote fraud. And in Pennsylvania, one of the law firms handling the president's case had to drop out because they were being harassed and threatened. And in just this week, one of Biden's law firms had to drop out, but for a different reason, because one of their law partners called a Trump attorney and left a threatening message on her phone. I mean, you can't get worse in a violation of legal ethics than that. So we're living in a very dangerous time in our country, and the left is out to take it all over, and that's why the president's fighting so hard to ensure that we don't go through another election with cheating, as I think we did in this last one.
Well, speaking of this legal battle, there is, I'll put it this way, some confusing news this morning. Because Rudy Giuliani, the president's kind of lead on his team, they issued a statement last night saying Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She is not a member of the Trump legal team. She is also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity. And the Wall Street Journal has received a statement from Sidney Powell saying she agrees with that statement. She's representing We the People and Seek the Truth. And I intend to expose all the fraud and let the chips fall where they may. We will not allow the foundations of this great republic to be destroyed by abject fraud. I guess, Gary, I was, and maybe some others were confused by the news conference last Thursday. Sidney Powell seemed to be part of the Rudy Giuliani team at that time. But now you have this development last night. What do you make of this?
I don't say this publicly too often, Fred. I'm confused too. look, I watched the press conference, and there were some troubling things raised. But it's never been clear to me whether Sidney Powell has been a formal member of the defense team, or whether she was representing wronged voters, or people who saw cheating and are trying to do something about it. So it sure is a bump in the road, to say the least, and it's been a problem for the president that, it's been hard for him to get attorneys to represent him. Now, think about that for a second. Most of the major law firms in Washington, D.C. won't touch his case because he's Donald Trump, and his voters, all 74, 75, whatever it is, million of us, were deplorable. So these big D.C. law firms, the big New York law firms, they're afraid to defend the president because they might get on the wrong end of these intimidation tactics we've seen. Let me remind you, Fred, the big law firms here in Washington, they want their lawyers to do pro bono work. And many of those lawyers here in Washington, their pro bono work is to go down to Gitmo, the prison for jihadists in Cuba, and represent them without being required to be paid. This is their pro bono work, and they get less blowback for representing accused terrorists than they would get if they dared to represent the President of the United States.
We live in strange times, Gary. I guess that's probably an understatement through it all.
Strange times and disturbing times, that's for sure.
That is for sure. Now, apparently Joe Biden is going to make some announcements today of who he's nominating for Secretary of State. The name Antony Blinken has come up, and you've been in Washington a long time. He was part of the Obama administration. Now, the mainstream media, here we go again, kind of describing him as a moderate. But what I've been able to read this morning is that he is a dyed-in-the-wool globalist who is going to carry the water as far as the left side of the Biden organization.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, what you just said, Fred, is the reality here. And, I think there's no way to prove this or the exact number of voters that voted for Joe Biden because they didn't like Donald Trump's tweets, or they thought he was a little too harsh, or whatever the reason was. And they looked at Biden and they said, "Oh, come on, he's a moderate guy. He's no AOC or Ilhan Omar. Folks, you made a big mistake if I just described you." The energy and the power in the Democrat Party is coming from the left. And the split is not, I repeat, it is not between socialists and moderates. The split in the Democrat Party, which has become a socialist party, The split in that party is between those like Biden that don't want to admit they're socialists because they know it will turn the American people off, so they camouflage what they believe. And people like AOC and Bernie Sanders and Mayor de Blasio of New York, who are proud that they are a socialist party. So that's the division. The old Democrat Party that my parents belonged to, that Democrat Party was pro-life. It was extremely patriotic. It stood up for the little guy, the working guy. They didn't send the working guy's jobs to China, communist China, like today's Democrat Party does. So it is a far-left party, and it's going to get far left every day that passes, and we will see it in the policies that the Biden-Harris administration pursues and the personnel that they put in key positions.
Hey, Gary, we only have a few minutes left. I do have to get your reaction to maybe one of your favorite Democrats, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. You know, he's getting an Emmy Award today. An Emmy Award for his outstanding performances on his daily coronavirus updates.
Well, he ought to get an Oscar, too, for his acting ability. I mean, the guy was a disaster. And you know, it's absurd and it's funny. But there are thousands of families in New York that lost their parents or grandparents because Cuomo ordered coronavirus-infected individuals to be admitted into the nursing homes in New York State. Mm. So somewhere between 40 and 50% of all the deaths that took place in New York State were in nursing homes where the poor people couldn't do anything to get away from the virus that was there because of Cuomo's policies. This guy is just off his rocker. And now his latest, as we all know, is he tried to undermine the vaccine, said it, you know, he wouldn't trust the vaccine made under Trump, and he wouldn't put it out around the state. And Trump said, well, fine, there's limited doses. I'm not going to send it to you then. So then the governor's now threatened to sue the president to get the vaccine. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's a joke.
You think the president, well, you speak about the vaccine, think the president will ever get credit for what he has done with regards to bringing these vaccines online so quickly?
I'm going to do everything I can, and we all should, Fred, to remind the American people what the president accomplished. Biden said the other day, I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm going to shut down the virus. Mm. The virus will be shut down in the next 6-7 months because of Donald Trump. It will have nothing to do with Joe Biden. Operation Warp Speed and what the president did, it usually takes at a minimum 4 years to develop a vaccine because of President Trump. We've gotten one in less than a year, and we've already made the doses. We're just waiting for the green light, the final green light from the FDA. It'll come in the next couple of weeks, and millions of Americans are going to start getting the vaccine.
You know, I think if we were back in the Obama days and we had this pandemic, and a vaccine was developed, it would likely be called the Obama vaccine. I don't suppose it'll be called the Trump vaccine.
No, they're calling the coronavirus the Trump virus. But they'll never call the vaccine the Trump vaccine.
I'll tell you what. I'm glad you live in Washington, D.C. I don't.
For a way to escape, Fred.
Hey, listen, you put out an excellent end of day. That's what it's called each day. I get it every end of the day. How can people get that excellent summary of what's going on in our nation's capital?
They can go to ouramericanvalues.org.
Super. Gary, great to talk to you. Hope you have
too,
a great Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas if we don't talk before then.
Fantastic. You too. God bless.
Take care. All right. We want to talk to you right now. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Hey, when we come back, I want to play a few clips for you of how the pandemic restrictions in places like California, New Jersey, how that's all going over. There's a rebellion building, folks. Give you a couple examples. When we come back here in Sandy Rios in the morning on this Monday, Fred sitting in. Don't go away.
to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
In a world filled with sickness and suffering, it's easy to wonder, why is all this happening? Although trials are a painful part of life, God has a purpose for every hurt. We're learning to look for His hand in our hardship. All this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowds. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Here Jesus instructed His disciples to cross a lake and meet Him on the other side of it. As they went, they were met by a violent windstorm that halted their progress. Often in our Christian lives, we receive clear instruction from the Lord, only to be met by an obstacle that halts our progress. We must, however, recognize that the onset of a storm does not cancel out God's instructions. Halted progress does not equal denied destination. When Jesus directed the disciples to go to the other side, He absolutely meant for them to get there. Delay does not equal denial.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Electoral College will meet on December 14 to pick a president. With all the legal confusion due to election fraud, what if it can't produce a winner on that day? According to the 12th Amendment of the Constitution, if no candidate gets a majority of the Electoral College vote on December 14, the election is sent to the House of Representatives to hold its own election, and the House is to do so immediately on that very day. Each state delegation in the House gets one vote. The good news for Trump supporters is that Republicans have a majority in 26 state delegations and Democrats just 22, with four delegations evenly split. If delegations remain faithful, the House will send Donald Trump back to the White House by a vote of 26 to 22. How does that sound?
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Are our electronic voting systems vulnerable? Quote, I feel like we are in terrible danger of losing what it means to be a democracy. If elections can be altered subtly, if they can be altered in a way that is undetectable, how does one trust the results of their election? Unquote. That warning wasn't from Sidney Powell, the accomplished attorney asking federal courts to confirm that such fraud was perpetrated in this month's presidential race. Rather, it's from Sandy Clark, a University of Pennsylvania security researcher in Kill Chain, a documentary released by left-of-center activists weeks before this election. As even 30% of Democratic voters say the 2020 results were fraudulent, we simply cannot afford to allow demonstrated vulnerabilities to persist, especially since, if such problems aren't fixed immediately, the upcoming momentous runoff elections in Georgia will be susceptible to fraud as well. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back once again to Sandy Rios in the morning for a Monday. Fred sitting in for Sandy today. We're going to go to our phones in just a second, and we've got calls lined up from across the country. But by now you're familiar with some jurisdictions across the country that have actually intensified their restrictions on people's movements with regards to the pandemic. One of the worst is in California, folks. Governor Newsom out there, the Democrat Governor Newsom, you know, the guy who puts restrictions in place and then violates them himself, you know, goes to restaurants with a whole pile of people, no mask, the whole thing. Well, one of the restrictions that's being put in place out there through the Thanksgiving period, you have to lock yourself in your house at 10 o'clock at night must stay in your house until 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And basically, you can only have your friends fellowship with your family. Forget about having get-togethers, full family get-togethers, you know, grandparents, uncles, aunts, all that sort of thing. Well, last week, California Republican Congressman McClintock, I believe he's from the Sierra area, California, he got up in the House, and this is what he had to say about Governor Newsom.
Mr. Speaker, I rise this morning in defense of Governor Gavin Newsom, who recently defied his own idiotic COVID edicts as he partied at one of the few restaurants that's not yet been forced out of business. I defend him because he was doing what we once all did in a free society, make our own decisions over what risks we're willing to run and what precautions we're willing to take according to our own circumstances to protect our own health. Only a fool would claim the omniscience to make an informed judgment for every person in every circumstance in every community. Yet sadly, this crisis has revealed that fools abound in public office and that a fool with power can quickly become a petty tyrant. Which brings us back to Governor Newsom. These government nannies love to tell us that they're just following the science. Well, what does this science actually tell us? It tells us that COVID poses virtually no risk to children, but can be severe among the elderly. So what did these lockdown leftists do? They closed all the schools and ordered infected patients into nursing homes. The science tells us that outdoor transmissions of the virus are extremely rare and that 80% of infections occur in people's homes. So what did these lockdown leftists do? They closed our beaches, parks, and campgrounds and ordered people to stay at home. The science tells us that obesity is a contributing factor to the severity of the disease. So what did these lockdown leftists do? They closed all the gyms and kept the liquor stores open. I've wondered how much longer the American people are going to tolerate this nonsense. So let us not criticize Governor Newsom. Perhaps he's just offered us all deliverance from his own folly. The governor should make his own decisions about running his own life. I only ask that he and his ilk would stop telling the rest of us how to run ours. I yield back.
Yeah, that's Congressman McClintock, Republican from California, getting up in the House last week and kind of laying it out. And to his point, a number of sheriffs across the country where these restrictions are being put in place, New Jersey, California, other states, these sheriffs are saying, uh-uh. If you think, Mr. Governor or Mr. Mayor, that I'm going to send my police officers and go door to door to people's houses to make sure they're in their house at 10 o'clock at night, not going to do it. So that rebellion that Congressman McClintock was talking about, it's already taking place. And I would suggest that across this country, this Thanksgiving, a lot of people will not be paying attention to that. And as I say, it's interesting that you have these sheriffs now that are saying, no, we are simply not going to do it. It's kind of a quiet rebellion. People aren't taking up arms, but they are doing what they believe they should be doing. And as Congressman McClintock said, they're just doing what Governor Newsom of California afforded himself the right to do. All right, let's go to our phones. 888-589-8840. We go first to Texas this morning and say good morning to Cindy. Cindy, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. My concern is all the talk about Operation Warp Speed. Now, I understand, you know, yes, there's a serious illness going on, but it has a 99.9% recovery rate in the general population. Mm-hmm. The UK is already putting things in place for the massive amounts of injury from the vaccine they're expecting to see. I'm just concerned that you cannot fast track a vaccine. And I am a healthcare provider, so it's I'm very concerned about that. And I'm a total Trump supporter, but I cringe every time he mentions Operation Warp Speed.
Okay. Well, that's something you're going to have to be watching. That is for sure. Another area of concern that I've heard raised is, are we also approaching a time in this country is the vaccine going to be optional? In other words, if you're working at a business, is the business going to tell you, you must have the vaccine, or here's your walking papers? Government offices, schools, your kids, are they going to be forced to take this vaccine if you have objections to that? It's going to be very interesting, folks. Very, very interesting. And I understand the concern. Kathy in Arkansas. Good morning, Kathy. Go ahead.
Hi. I was going to ask about the election something rather than the virus, but
sure.
I'm wondering if you know if there's any talk among the legislatures, state legislatures, about what they're going to do to ensure that the voter fraud and all the irregularities don't happen in the next election.
Well, I'm sure there are legislatures that are very concerned. I know there are concerns in Georgia with the Senate runoff there coming up on January the 5th. Is Georgia going to use the same tallying machines, the Dominion machines, to count the vote there? And that's a critical runoff, because that's going to determine who is going to control the Senate, whether the Republicans pick up those two seats or retain those two seats and therefore give them the majority in the Senate, or if they lose that, then basically, if Joe Biden does become the next president of the United States, his vice president, Kamala Harris, would have the deciding vote on things. So that is a critical election, and a lot of people, to your point, Kathy, are concerned that if they're using the same machines that they did for the general election, is it possible that the fraud that's been speculated about in that state behind the vote, that we could see more problems there? So very much concerned. There's no question about it. To Robert in Texas. Go ahead, Robert.
Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Appreciate all y'all do, and just wanted to thank you for this wonderful ministry that you all have. Real quick, wanted to say, you know, with all this apparent fraud, what provisions are there constitutionally? Because it's, I know they've got to prove it in a court of law. If they can show that, I know we've got this January 20th inauguration date. What could be done to move that? I mean, this to me is just terribly serious about what we're hearing now. It's got to be proven. What could be done possibly to delay it, to make sure we know?
Well, one possibility is what the constitutions allow for is if the vote is not certified in each state, if there are states that decide not to certify the vote, then what happens is that the legislature then picks the electoral college members. That has been talked about. So we're going to have to wait and see. There's kind of two things that we're looking at right now. We're looking at court cases. A number of the lower courts, including on the weekend, have so far dismissed the petitions that have been filed on behalf of the president, on behalf of just conservative citizens. And so now it's going to move into various appeals courts and eventually to the United States Supreme Court. Remember, in the 2000, we had to wait 37 days after the general election in 2000 before we knew who the next president was going to be. So don't believe the media. They're trying to pressure a quick end to all of this. This has to work its way through the courts. And various petitions, some I think key petitions, are going to be filed this week. Certainly for Georgia, we understand, and probably a few more for Pennsylvania and also Michigan. So we'll just have to wait on that. All right. We say good morning to Ann in North Carolina. Go ahead, Ann.
Ann, my sister, who lives in Georgia, sent me an email over the weekend, and it was from the John Frederick Show. And it was a radio interview with an attorney, Lynn Wood, from Atlanta. And he confirmed that everything that Sidney Powell had said about the governor of Georgia and the secretary of state is true, that they were corrupt and were involved with Stacey Abrams. Lynn Wood also said that the governor will not sue him for defamation of character because he knows it's true. And he also said that the governor is hiding from the people of Georgia. He won't take their phone calls or answer their emails. And he said that the people in Georgia should protest in front of the governor's mansion with these same machines. What faith can Americans have in the Senate race? and the interview is no longer available.
Hmm. Well, Ann, as you have made mention, Sidney Powell brought this matter up with regards to the Republican governor and the Republican secretary of state getting kickbacks. Now, she did not provide any proof of that. I'm sure this will be talked about, at least in conservative circles. But what is true is that the secretary of state, back 2 years ago, or less than that, did sign a consent decree with Stacey Abrams, who, remember, she was running for governor. She lost. And she said that there was racist reasons why she lost. There were problems with people voting, etc., etc. And that the governor or the secretary of state had signed a consent decree, which changed some of the election rules in Georgia. So that part is true. The part about the governor, the Republican governor, Republican secretary of state, getting money underneath the table to buy these Dominion machines, it's out there, but there is no definitive proof of that yet. And it'll be interesting to see. I haven't seen any reaction yet from the governor or from the secretary of state to that allegation. That may come today. I tell you what, though, if it's blatantly false, they have a pretty good slander case on their hands, because now we have at least two people apparently making that allegation public. I think we have time for one more call. Let's head to Tennessee and say good morning to Jenny. Jenny, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm glad to hear Sidney Powell, and I'm applauding her this morning for going to bat for the American people, because if this, all of this is not dragged out, what is really the undercurrent going on with all this voter fraud, you know, this is going to happen again, and it's not going to be safe for anybody that's going to be in the government, because they will be planted there, and we don't know, you know, what's going on. But I'm very confident that she knows what she's talking about, or else she would not be putting her career on the line. And I'm just wondering, what she's talking about is what William Barr ought to be talking about in the Justice Department. Why is he so quiet?
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a good question. That is a question that has been asked. Is eventually, you would think our Justice Department would have to get involved and investigate some of these allegations of, you know.
I don't see him getting involved in anything, do you?
No. Well, and not to be in defense of William Barr, but the accusation that has been made is that Attorney General Barr is one person, and that the problem, as we have seen over the last 4 years, as President Trump calls it, the swamp, involves many of these people who work under Barr in the Justice Department. They are Obama holdovers. They're still there, just like they are at the FBI, just like they are at the CIA. And so that presents a problem for the Attorney General. And don't forget, we're dealing with this time constraint. It is a time when we need to be praying for this country. We need to be praying for the president, and we need to be praying for wisdom and guidance amongst our leaders. That is for sure. But one thing we know for sure, folks, God is still in control through all of this, and he knows exactly what's going on, and his justice will be done at some point. Have yourself a great day, and stay tuned for more great programming here on American Family Radio. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.